All right. Well, good morning. Sure is good to see you this morning. Welcome to our church family that's joining us online. Glad we can provide that. And also, let me just say, if you are new with us here today at Faith E, whether online or in-house, so glad you're joining us. You know, it was a couple weeks ago that myself and a few of the other leaders from our staff had the opportunity to go to a church leadership growth conference all the way in Birmingham, Alabama. Yeah, for a Montana kid, it sure is hot and humid down there. But anyway, it was a blessing. I know for me, it was a fantastic conference, and I just have to say, thanks for being a church that values, that cares for, that pours into and prays for us as pastors. You don't know how much that means, and boy, it's our goal to better serve the church. That's our heart, to serve the church as we follow our King together. And so once again, I left that conference certainly equipped, re-energized in a lot of ways, refreshed, challenged, and affirmed. So thank you for that. And I got to tell you, going to that, I had some new experiences. As an adult, I've never traveled to that part of the country. I've never been that far south to Alabama. Different down there. Kind of fun. I mean, besides just hot and humid, people say things differently. I don't know if you noticed that. I kind of like it. I mean, while we were there, one of the primary leaders of the conference, he would oftentimes say while he was speaking, can I get a better amen? Wait, can I get a better amen? Kind of like that. And I turned to my wife and we're talking. We're like, well, is there a bad amen? I mean, do you need like a better amen? But we were down there with a few thousand other people, and evidently they all got it, because after he said that, they'd give out a hearty amen. Yeah. And then the other thing I noticed that people in the crowd would often do is say, come on. If you hear the staff doing this, now you know why. But it wasn't just like a come on. It was this deep, guttural, come on, like that. Now, I did think that was kind of cool. I thought that was kind of fun. So you ready? On three, we're going to do this together. And I want it to be a deep, guttural. I see some of you going, no, come on, have a little fun. You can have fun in church. It's okay. You ready? On three. One, two, three. Come on. That's not bad. My voice cracked. But good job. And then I had one other experience that I want to share with you. We were heading back one evening from the conference, and it's in the car with a couple of us, including Darren Uselman, our executive pastor, which, by the way, Darren's been here a little over 6 months, and I don't know where he's sitting. There he is over there. I see you, brother. And I just got to say, boy, it is a blessing to have you and Candy in my life as a friend, but here on staff. So thank you so much for following the Lord's call and lead. So can we just say thank you, Lord, for Darren, Candy, and the family? And I also got to thank Darren. He introduced me to something new. So we're heading back from this conference, and he's like, hey, there's a Buc-ee's close by. And I'm like, what in the world is a Buc-ee's? And he goes, it's a gas station. And I'm like, I don't want to go to a gas station. It's 9 at night, and I'm tired. Take me to the hotel so I can go to bed. And he's like, no, bro, you got to check out a Buc-ee's. So we go to a Buc-ee's. Now, has anybody ever been to a Buc-ee's? Come on. All right. Quite a few. I'm surprised. So they're not really here in this part of the country, per se. I think there might be one in Denver. But if you haven't been to a Buc-ee's, it was my first time. And here's the best way I can describe it. Think of gas station meets Walmart meets a five-star hotel. I mean, we roll in there, and there's like literally 100 different gas pumps. And then we go into the retail space, and I think it was like 40 to 50,000 square foot of retail space that was immaculately clean. And they had everything under the sun, including beef jerky that they made, open-air beef jerky that they're selling in bulk. You get it in butcher paper, and off you go. I mean, it was pretty cool. And then we're shopping, and Darren says, you got to check out the bathroom. If you know to Buc-ee's, you know. If you've been to Buc-ee's, you know what I'm talking about here. But I'm like, I don't want to, a bathroom, really weird. I go in the bathroom, and it's fantastic. I wanted to take a picture with my cell phone, but I realized that'd probably be a little weird taking a picture in the bathroom. But we're talking stone floor, marble countertop, and there's like an attendant the entire time in the Buc-ee's. That's what they do in every bathroom. And they're like, you wash your hand, a drop of water goes on the counter, they're there wiping it up. I just gotta say, I, Paul McClintock, had a fantastic bathroom experience in Buc-ee's, okay? So I did what any Montana dude would do. I bought a Bucky's t-shirt, right? And I wore it this past week here at church. But I'm pretty proud of this thing. There you go. And then my wife and I, we took a selfie out in front of the Bucky's store there. You talk about gorgeous. That's my wife there on the right. I call her Baby J. You better not be calling her Baby J. You call her Miss Janet or whatever, but that's my wife, Janet. Love her. And so anyway, we get back to Montana. I am going somewhere with this, I promise. We get back to Montana. I'm like, just because I'm a nerd, I wondered what their mission statement was all about, Bucky. So I look it up, and here's their mission statement. Ever since our inception in 1982, we have been committed to providing a clean, friendly, and in-stock experience for our customers. Regardless of where you may find us, if the store is big or small, near or far, the mission remains the same. And I'll tell you what, they live that mission out. We here at Faithy Church have a mission statement, and I think it's eternally more important than Bucky's because ours is based on the Word of God. Mm-hmm. We're going to have fun, aren't we? And our mission statement, whether near or far from home, we're called to live this out. Whether big or small, our mission at Faithy is forming fully surrendered disciples who love God, love others, and share Jesus. That's what we're all about here at Faithy. Love God, love other, and share Jesus. You know, we talked about the first half of this mission statement because really it's based on the words, not just of the Bible, but also right from our Lord's mouth. Way back in Mark chapter 8, verse 34, we found that Jesus said this, "If you want to be my disciple, then you must deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me." It's about living a life of sacrifice and surrender to Jesus Christ as our King. And I'll tell you what, wasn't that just awesome when we got to witness three people during this service publicly state, "I'm all in, I'm a surrendered disciple of Jesus through the act of baptism," right? I think let's give it up one more time for those who were baptized. I can't remember if Matt mentioned this, he may have, but I think he did. But we had 10 total people today take that step. And that's so cool. And now as we continue in our journey through the Gospel of Mark, today we come to Mark chapter 12. So if you would, take your Bibles, your scripture journals, and open them up to Mark chapter 12. We're going to be looking at verses 28 through 34. And as we come to this text, here is where we begin to find the second portion of our mission statement. Because as fully surrendered disciples, we are called to love God, love others, and share Jesus. It's those three marks that indicate a fully surrendered disciple. Love God, love others, share Jesus. So easy to remember that I believe, and I know that even a seven-year-old can get a hold of that. So when I get back from Alabama, when I got back from Alabama about a week ago, I checked my inbox, and there in my inbox is a little sign, a little note from a seven-year-old within the church body here. And she saw those words out on the signs there in the hallway, love God, love others, share Jesus. And she thought, you know what? We need those words on the walls of our home. So she made a bunch of signs for her house. That's what I was told by her parents. And then she decided to make one extra for Pastor Paul's office, the wall in my office. And here's the sign she made. Love God, love others, share Jesus, from a seven-year-old. And you want to know where that is? It's on the wall in my office. That's our call. So for the next 3 weeks, we're actually going to talk about each portion of that second half of our mission statement. Love God, love others, share Jesus. And we're really going to just camp right here in this text, Mark 12, 28 to 34. Today, we're going to talk about verses 28, 29, and 30. Next week, verse 31. And then we'll wrap up with verses 32 through 34. And as we talk about each of these calls as a fully surrendered disciple, we're also going to unpack our values. We have newly worded values here at Faithy Church. And I got to tell you, I am so pumped. I'm so excited because these values are a product of 2 years worth of work, of lots of prayer, meetings, a survey, and a feedback session or several feedback sessions. And I want to just take a moment and thank all the team. We had several team members who worked on this and got us over the hump. So thank you to all of you who really helped with this. Can we just hear it up for them as well? These values are listed in your worship guide, but I think as we embark, particularly over these next 3 weeks, I just want to read through each one. So follow along if you would. We're going to put kind of the little icon next to up on the screen as we go through these. And again, it's in your worship guide. Follow along because here at Faith E, we value being deeply biblical. I think you know that. We're talking about a faith that isn't shallow. Deep questions, deep truth, and deep roots. Next, we want to be a church that's always praying. It's a faith that isn't self-reliant. All fears, all tears, all triumphs. Then real faith. Faith that isn't fake. Real people, real stories, real transformation. Next, find your people. Faith that isn't solo. Shared tables, shared lives, shared mission. Jesus everywhere. Faith that isn't just for Sundays. Every step, every place, every day. And finally, reach one more. Faith that isn't something we keep to ourselves. Reach out, reach in. Reach again. You've been hearing these over the last month, but now you get to have them right in front of you. These are our six new values. Come on. Pretty good, huh? Like I said, I'm pretty excited about them. And everything we do here at Faith E Church is really about our mission. And so what I'd encourage you to do, you'll see a little QR code there in your worship guide. At some point this upcoming week, scan that. It'll take you to our values page. You'll get more information about each value. And all of these values are undergirded by the Word of God, by Scriptures, so you can check that out. Don't do it right now. I want you to stay here with me, but check that out. And like I just said, everything we do here at Faith E Church is about our mission. That's what we try to keep in front of us. We try to make sure everything that we participate in is about our mission, and these values support our mission. So today, as we talk about love God, we're going to see the way to love God is by being deeply biblical and by always praying. Next week, love others. Well, it's a real faith, and find your people, like Darren talked about in the announcements. And then finally, share Jesus. It's not just Jesus on Sundays. It's Jesus everywhere, in our work, in the school, everywhere we go. Jesus everywhere, and then reach one more. That's where we're going. That's who we are. Make sense? All right. I want you to get a hold of that. Speaking of getting a hold of something, I hope you have your Bibles, your scripture journals in your hands. We want you to bring the Word of God to church every Sunday. With your Bibles open to Mark 12, even though we're just going to talk really the first three verses today, 28, 29, and 30, I want to read the entire text, all seven verses, as we embark on this little mini-series within a series. So if you would, follow along. Again, Mark chapter 12, verses 28 to 34. Here we go. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." "Well said, teacher," the man replied. "You are right in saying that God is one and there is no other but him. To love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And from then on, no one dared ask Jesus any more questions. Let's pray. Jesus, we do give you praise, and we thank you that you not only give good answers, you are the answer. You are the King. Your blood was shed so that we can be set free from sin and death. We thank you for the cross, and we thank you for the empty tomb because you rose from the grave. Holy Spirit, we invite you. We know you're already here. We invite you to speak to us this morning from the very breath of God that we get to hold in our hands. We are so grateful that you dwell among us, you dwell in us. Speak to us today. We are listening, your servants are listening. And I pray this in the mighty name of the King whom we serve. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, I want to talk a little bit of context to help us understand what we're looking at in today's verses. Because if you were here a few weeks ago, and if you weren't, that's okay. But 2 weeks ago, we talked about how we had the Pharisees and Herodians, really quite an unlikely matching, an unholy pair, you could say, They kind of team up and try to trap Jesus with a political question because they ask Jesus about paying taxes to Caesar. Then last week we saw how the Sadducees, in a sense, really tried to trap Jesus as well, but they come at Jesus with a theological question about marriage. Now in today's text, we find a teacher of the law really coming to Jesus, questioning him with a legal type question. But right off the bat, we see that there's something different about this. Because notice in verse 28 how it starts with the word one. One. In this case, we have one person, one man, one teacher of the law that's approaching Jesus with a question. In the Gospel of Matthew, we're told that this man, this teacher of the law, otherwise known as a scribe, he's part of that group of Pharisees. We're told that in Matthew. So at some point, he breaks off from the Pharisees, that group that had just tried to trap Jesus with a political question around paying taxes, and he comes by himself to Jesus because he'd heard Jesus give a good answer. And so I believe you can also see that this man, there's some level of genuineness to him. Like I said, he heard that Jesus had given a good answer. And then if we bounce down to verse 34, we say that Jesus says about this man that he's not far from the kingdom of God. That's what he's saying about a Pharisee. At this point, all we've seen from the Pharisees is nothing but hostility. So it seems to me there's some level of sincerity as he approaches Jesus with this question in verse 28 of all the commandments, which is the most important one? Now, there's something you have to understand about Pharisees, teachers of the law. We talked about this for the last several months as well. But in a sense, these guys, they're deeply biblical. I mean, they had the first five books of the Bible committed to memory. Many of them did, also known as the Torah. From Genesis to Deuteronomy, they knew it inside and out. And from the first five books of the Bible, they had identified 613 different commandments, 613 different laws. They broke those into two classes. There were 248 laws around things that the people should do or do's. And then there was 365 do nots or don'ts. One don't for every day of the year. And then from there, they further broke down those laws into things that were heavy and things that were light. You can see how complex this was, this legal system. And the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, they would sit around debating and arguing about which one fell into which category. So it's quite a good question as he approaches Jesus when he says, which of the commandments is the greatest one? He wants to know, what is the most important one, Jesus? What rises to the top? What is the creme de la creme? What law does the rest of the law hinge upon? That's what he's asking. And Jesus has the answer. We see Jesus' answer beginning in verses 29 and 30 when he says this, "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength.'" What Jesus is doing here in verses 29 and 30, he's quoting from the Old Testament. He's quoting from Deuteronomy, a book they would have had great familiarity with. They would have known these verses that Jesus is quoting. Turns out Jesus is pretty deeply biblical too. He's more than that. He is the Word, and the Word is about him. Specifically, what Jesus is quoting is from Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 and 5, which say this, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength." Those verses in Deuteronomy are known as the Shema. Everybody say Shema. Shema. There you go. Shema is a Hebrew word for the word hear. The first word in verse 4 of the Shema is hear. This is a commandment that God gave to the nation of Israel shortly before they go into the promised land. Now, you may have noticed a slight difference between what we saw here in Deuteronomy and then in Mark, because Mark adds to the list with all your mind. But don't get hung up on that too much, because soul and mind are both really referring to that inner conscious will. That's what it's about. All the heart means the heart is like the command center of the body. Soul, mind, the will, like I just said, and then, of course, you have strength, which is referring to the physical aspect of the body. Here's the command. It's about the total body, the total person, the complete person. The command is this. This is the important part of it, is to love God completely with your entire self. That's what the call is right here. And in case you missed it, this is the first portion of the second half of our mission statement, love God. This is where it comes from. And I want you to track with me on something, because as I pondered all of this over the last week or so, I couldn't help but think about how The Shema seems to me to be reflected in the words of Jesus back in Mark 8:34, where Jesus said, if you want to be my disciple, then you must deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Here's what I mean. If you think about it, to deny self, what Jesus is calling us to do back in Mark chapter 8, means that sometimes we've got to deny the things that our heart may crave of this world and instead replace it with the love of God. Take up your cross, that's a matter of the will, meaning we've got to love God with all of our mind and all of our soul. And then when Jesus says, follow me, there's a physical aspect to that because it means not going the way that we think we should go, but instead following in the footsteps of Jesus. That's loving God with all of our strength. You see what I'm talking about here? This is called, really, and I would call it a surrendered love. It's a surrendered love because you know what? We can't do Mark 8:34, Mark 12:29, Mark 12:30 on our own. It's impossible apart from God. The Bible says in 1 John 4:19 that we love because he first loved us. If we want more of God and his love in our life and we want to be able to love him more, that means we got to die to ourselves. We have to live lives of surrender, sacrifice. This guy here, it means for me every single day I got to empty myself of Paul in order to be filled with the love of God to the brim. How's that happen? How's that work in our life? Love God. We need to know what he has to say to us. It means being deeply biblical. This is why every Sunday we preach from the Word of God, and we encourage you to spend some days throughout the week, spend at least 4 days every week in God's Word. Better yet, start every day by spending some time in your Bible. That's where transformation happens. It's why we give you scripture journals, encourage you to do OIA, all those types of things. You got to know what God has to say if you're going to love him. Be deeply biblical, and then we need to spend some time talking with our Father in heaven, talking to God. Always praying. Being people of prayer. And it's this topic of prayer that I really want to spend the rest of our time on. If you would look at verse 28, please. I want you to notice something. I noticed this, and I don't think this was the scribe's intent, but we actually get a picture of prayer in verse 28. We do, because he's listening to Jesus. See, here's Jesus. Give a pretty good answer. And then we see this man in verse 28. Well, he's talking to God, God in the flesh, and he asked Jesus a question. Here's a simple definition of prayer. You may want to write this down. It's right here. Listening to and talking with God. Prayer. Listening to and talking with God. And you know what happens when we pray? Our mind, our heart, our soul, our strength is all impacted. Because when we pray, we open our hearts to receive God's love in a bigger way. Romans chapter 5, verse 5 says that God pours his love into our hearts through his Spirit who he's given to us. When we pray, we align our will with God's will. Just like when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he's praying, Father, not my will, but your will be done. And when we pray, we are filled with the Spirit of God. That's where we get the strength to walk in holiness. The Bible says that I lift my eyes up to the mountain. Where does my strength come from? It comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And we as followers of Jesus have the very Spirit of God inside of us. And I lift my eyes up and I say, Lord, I want more of you in my life. I want more of God in my life. I want so much love of his love in my heart that it just spills out naturally. I want to experience God's grace in every fiber of my being. I want to be able to say what the Apostle Paul said, that to live is Christ and to die is even better because I get to be with Jesus in a resurrected body. That's what I want. I want my will to be aligned with the Father's will because he knit me together in my mother's womb. He knows me. He knows every hair on my head, and he knows the best plans for my life. They're so much better than the plans that I lay up. And it's not my life anyway, it's his. And I want to be filled with the Spirit of God, his Holy Spirit, so that I can have the strength to make a difference in this world, an eternal difference for the kingdom of God. That's what I want. That's what I want. And that's what I want for every single one of us here. Every one of us. It starts with prayer. It starts with prayer. There's power in prayer. If you leave with nothing else today, there's power in prayer. I remember an interview. I think it was Billy Graham's final interview that he gave, and I think it was with Greta Van Susteren, if I remember correctly. But I was locked into what Billy Graham was saying. He's well into his 90s, I believe, and he was asked the question by Greta. Billy, if you had it to do over again, would you do anything differently? Billy didn't pause, and I remember how he began to answer that question. This is what he said. He said, well, I would preach less. I think I fell off the seat while I was watching the TV screen. Billy Graham, preach less? No, preach more. I mean, the preacher preached to millions, but then he went on to say this, and I quote, Billy Graham said this, if I had it to do over again, I'd spend more time in meditation and prayer and just telling the Lord how much I love him and adore him, and I'm looking forward to the time we're going to spend together for eternity. Thankful for that answer from Billy Graham. Always praying. It's a faith that's not self-reliant. And I'm looking forward to this fall because we're going to have some opportunity for times of corporate prayer. We're going to have a prayer and worship night. We'll talk about that. And I'm looking forward to January because we're going to start the new year 2026 with 21 days of prayer. And I'm pumped about that too. Amen. That's what's coming. I want you to know that. But we must not wait for that to be people of prayer. It starts today. It starts tomorrow. It starts now. We must be people of prayer. And so I want to leave you with three principles around how to pray, how this will help your prayer life. And every one of these principles is based on God's word. It comes right out of the Bible. So grab a pen if you haven't already. There should be some in the seats in front of you. There's a little margin off to the left of your worship guide for notes. I'd ask you to write these three principles down as we go through them. The first one is found way back in Mark chapter 1, verse 35. Because there we find our Lord Jesus very early in the morning while it was still dark. Jesus got up and he prayed. Jesus prayed first thing. He started his day. If we're going to be people who are always praying, we need to start our day that way. Start with prayer. You know, I was reading Deuteronomy. I'm going through the Old Testament in my quiet time. And I was reading through Deuteronomy about a week ago. And I hit that one of those spots in Deuteronomy, to be totally transparent. I'm like, this is not interesting to me. I'm just telling you. You know, it's about offering and grain offerings and all that. And I was like, maybe it's interesting to some of you. But I'm like, Lord, I'm sorry. What do you have for me from this passage? And it was almost immediately, I think it was immediately, the words first fruits jumped out at me. And I'm like, there it is. God wants our first, our best. He wants the best part of our day. Start with prayer. Here's principle number one, pray first. Two words. Pray first. And then in that same verse, Mark chapter 1, verse 35, after Jesus got up early, we see that he went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Principle number two, find a place to pray. Pray first, find a place to pray. You may have heard of that term, prayer closet. Anybody heard of that before? That's great. I mean, if going in a closet in your house and praying works for you, you should. It does. I don't really prefer that. I'm a little claustrophobic, and I like to kind of move around and be kind of excited when I pray. Go figure, right? And I like to pray out. I like to pray out loud. I mean, there's sometimes I'm walking down the hallway here at Faithy Church in the middle of the day, and I'm praying, and I walk by somebody, and completely I'm in the zone. I'm in the very throne room of God, and I miss them, and I'm sure they think I'm rude and I'm crazy, and I am that. Well, I'm not rude, but I am a little crazy. But I'm there praying. Find a place to pray. You know, I want you to know, and this isn't yay, Paul, this is all for the glory of God, but I walk this worship center every single day this week, and I prayed over the chairs. I prayed for you over there. Jackson's, I prayed for you guys. I want you to know, as a guy, I prayed for you, bro. You're getting married tomorrow and I'm doing your wedding, so I prayed a lot for you. I prayed for you. There in the back, those chairs to the right of the tech booth, I prayed for you guys way back there. Raise your hand. I also prayed that God would move you forward, but JKLOL, I did pray for you though. Halligans, I prayed for you. I prayed for you guys over. Find a place to pray. That's all I'm saying. Pray first. Find a place to pray. The third principle is this. Ephesians 6:17 and 18 says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. Always praying. It's right there in Ephesians 6. All fears, all tears, all triumphs. And you know a big part of what's happening when we pray? I don't know if anybody's told you this before. We're engaging in spiritual warfare. We're in a battle. I hope you know that. It's not against flesh and blood, but it's against our enemy, the devil, and the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And we can't fight that battle. Oh, no, we can't. We can only do it in the Spirit of God with the sword of Spirit, which is the word of God. Principle 3. Pray the scriptures. Pray the scriptures. And all three of these principles are important, but I think it's this third one that's the most important. I recently read a book, Don Whitney. It's a book called Praying the Bible. And in it, he talks about this. He says that he believes most Christians don't pray because they think it's boring. Don't pray because it's boring. And then he goes on to say it's boring because, well, most Christians just say the same old thing about the same old thing. And you know what? I think he's 100% right. No hand raises or anything like that, but you might be there right now, today. I know there's been times in my prayer life where that's been the case for me, kind of boring, saying the same old thing, right? What's the anecdote? Pray the scriptures. That's the anecdote. That's what we do. I mean, you can be working through a passage of the Bible and just pause as you go and pray. Let the Bible, let the verses prompt you on how to pray. You might even pray a single verse over yourself, over your family, over whatever situation you're facing. You might pray a single word from that verse. Allow God to direct you using that word on how you pray. You know, great passages to pray through are found in Psalms. A familiar one is Psalm chapter 23. A lot of us have heard of that one. And so what I want to do right now, we're actually going to practice this in the service. We're going to pray the scriptures. We're going to pray the first half of verse 1 of Psalm 23. So we got it up on the screen. Let's just read that together. The Lord is my shepherd. Let's do it one more time. The Lord is my shepherd. We're going to pray that first half of that verse. We're really going to focus on the word shepherd. So can I ask you to close your eyes and bow your heads? I want you to, this is what's happening. We're entering into the throne room of God where we can receive mercy and grace. And so, would you just pray and begin praying by thanking Jesus that he is the good shepherd. Thank him for how he's led you, how he's provided for you as the good shepherd. How he's protected you. Just start listing off all the things that you're grateful for in your life and thanking God for them. Jesus, I do thank you for being a good shepherd. I thank you for my family. I thank you for my kids. I thank you for my wife. I thank you for our home. I thank you for this church. I thank you for the very air I get to breathe. I thank you for the freedom that we get to experience in this country. I thank you that we can worship you without fear of persecution. Lord, I thank you for the freedom that I have in you. I thank you that I've been washed. I've been set free. I've been sanctified. I can walk in holiness when I walk with you. Jesus, I thank you for that. I thank you for making it right between me and the Father in heaven. Thank you. Now take a moment right where you're at, and why don't you just ask Jesus to forgive you for those areas in your life where you've been more of a wandering sheep. You know what they are. Holy Spirit might be convicting you of some things in your life right now. Ask Jesus to forgive you. Repent. Tell the Good Shepherd you're sorry. And then ask him for the strength to not turn back to those sins that may seem so alluring, so enticing. Instead, ask him to make those things that may be appealing and you know they're wrong, ask him to make those like cat vomit. Do it. I would. So gross that you don't want to return to that garbage. And then take a moment and just say, thank you, Jesus, for leaving the 99 to chase after the one. And finally, speaking of the one, would you take a moment right now and pray for that one lost sheep in your life who needs to know the Good Shepherd? Just one. Pray for them by name right now, if you would. Amen. A lot of you want to keep on praying, I know. That is how you pray the scriptures. If you're here today and you're like, you know, my life, my faith journey, my walk feels just spiritually dry. Maybe you're thinking like, there's got to be something more to this whole Christian thing, this Christianity. Maybe you're thinking like, man, there's just got to be something I'm missing. There's got to be something more. Well, here it is. Pray first. That might mean rearranging some priorities in your life, perhaps not staying up so late and watching TV, Facebook, social media, Netflix, whatever. Go to bed earlier, get up earlier, pray first. And then find a place to pray. Closet, office, whatever. Walk around. But wherever you go, bring the sword of the Spirit, the word of God with you. Bring your Bible with you and pray the scriptures, because when you do, you will be reminded through the word of God that we have nothing to fear. We sang about it earlier. We have nothing to fear because we do have a good shepherd. His word tells us that we have the kind of good shepherd who will go into the fire with us. He'll jump on the boat with us when the seas and the storms of life are raging. His word tells us that we have the kind of good shepherd who didn't come to be served, but to serve, and he gave his life as a ransom for many. The good shepherd laid down his life for us sheep so that now we can be set free from the wages of sin and death. We as sheep can now lie down in green pastures and drink from springs of living water. His word tells us that we're no longer sheep because he rose from the grave. We share in his resurrection. We are now counted as sons and daughters of the living God. His word reminds us and tells us that we have the very love of God poured into our hearts through his Spirit. We are dwelling places of the Holy Spirit. And we have an eternal inheritance that will never perish, spoil, or fade, because we are citizens. As children, we are citizens of the kingdom of God. We are his church. And his word tells us that this good shepherd has a name. And his name is, let's shout this out as a church body, because his name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. And the Bible says this, that there is no other name given among men under heaven by which we must be saved, because Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. That's the gospel. That's the good news. Amen? Amen. Can I get a better amen? Amen. Let's pray. That's so cool. Jesus, thank you that we can have joy, we can have fun, we can celebrate because we are set free. I'm just going to pray right now. If the Holy Spirit's nudging you, perhaps you're here today and you're like, I don't know this good shepherd. I don't have a relationship with Jesus. And you know God's nudging you into a relationship with himself through his son. I want to give you a moment to start that right now. You know where it starts? Pray first. Right where you're at, just have a conversation with Jesus and start that conversation by saying, Jesus, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for my sin. We're all sinners. We've all fallen short. We've all been wandering sheep. Say, Jesus, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And let him know you're ready to turn from the way you've been wandering and go his way. Ask for the strength to do that. I want you to know something. That's called repentance. And if you truly repent, our God is faithful and just, and he will forgive you of your sins. Jesus' grace is enough. And then thank Jesus for his grace. Just say, thank you, Jesus, for taking my place on the cross. That's what he did. The wages of sin is death, and he took that upon himself so that we can have life, real life, abundant life, eternal life. Say, thank you, Jesus. And finally say, Jesus, I surrender. It's not about 1 foot in the world, 1 foot following Jesus, trying to do our own thing. No, it's all in. A life of sacrifice, a life of surrender. Let him know you're ready for that. Because he's king. He is the king. No matter what we do, he is the king. He's on the throne. He's in control because he rose from the dead. And if you had a conversation with Jesus, he's now your king. He's now your friend. He's now your savior. And you talk to him for the first time. Could I just ask you to slip up your hand? Keep it up. I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want to thank the Lord for you. Yeah, I see you in the front. Praise the Lord. God bless you. God bless you in the front over here. If you're online, connect with a pastor online. Don't miss this moment. We're not guaranteed another. This eternal stuff we're talking about. Father, we do give you thanks and praise for being in the business of saving people. You are good. Thank you, Jesus, for your obedience, for dying on the cross. Thanks for your life, your resurrection. Thanks for being a good shepherd. You make it all possible through your blood. We are grateful. We are grateful. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. For those of you who raised your hand and started a relationship with Jesus today, the Bible says in Romans 10:9 that if we confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. So I'm going to ask you to find a friend, a parent, brother or sister in Christ, one of us pastors, and let us know the step you took today. Because we want to celebrate with you and help you on your journey. And like I said, the Bible says, confess it with your mouth. So could I ask you to please stand? If you came prepared today to give, we have boxes in the back. There's a link online. You can check that out. And if you're here and you could use prayer for anything going on in your life, we have a little spot. You can see the sign on the wall. It says prayer. Pretty obvious. It's a privilege for us to pray for and with you. And maybe you're here today and you're like, I need healing. Maybe you need some spiritual, emotional, physical healing. We have a little bit of oil up here. And it's a privilege for us to anoint and pray over you. And we're told to pray bold prayers. The scripture says to do that, so we do. And we pray to our God in heaven for healing. So take advantage of that. If that's you, again, just stick around after the service. This is a house of prayer. And then as you leave, we also have some goodies out in the lobby. Make sure you grab something to eat. And then grab somebody's hand that you don't know. Introduce yourself to them. That's why we do this. And it's a big deal. And there's one thing I want to leave with, and it's the word one. We started with the word one. It's the first word in verse 28, and I want to leave with that because the final value we're going to talk about at the end of this three-week series is reach one more. You already heard it mentioned. And so here's my challenge for you, for all of us, is would you, as you pray first, find a place to pray and pray the scriptures, would you pray for that one lost person in your life that they would come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and start a relationship with him? One lost person. We already started it today. You already did it. So we're asking everybody to do this for the next 21 days, and let's see what Jesus does, all right? And if you... All right, don't be rude, Paul. If you don't know a lost person, I don't know, get out and meet some people, maybe? All right, sorry. Trying to be gracious. But let me say this, as you get out there, I want to echo the words of the Apostle Paul. I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Let's get out there and be the church. And may we be known as a church that is deeply biblical, full of people who are always praying. Love you guys. Have a great week.